Welcome to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Yes. Three. All right. We're expecting some great things to happen. Pastor Terry also told me that we're not going to stop the fast. You that have been fasting, we're going to continue on until Wednesday. So he wants you to fast breakfast and lunch all the way till Wednesday. And then he wants us all to come here for a prayer meeting, and we're going to come and believe God to do something. Amen. And if you that have been fasting, you know the trials and tribulations that you've been going through. You know the testings that you're going through. And the testings is not for us, and fasting is not for us to come and twist God's arm and get him to do something. It's for God to take us and twist our arm and get us to do something. Can I get a better amen out of that? And that's what it's all about. So God is bringing us to a place. And any time you go and you start doing that, there are attacks that come. I mean, my mama's been rushed to the hospital in intensive care. She's there right now. And it doesn't look too promising. But I'm still just believing God. If it's her time to go, she's going to go. But it's not going to affect what God is going to do in this church. Amen? It's not going to affect what God's going to do in my life, because we still have things to do. God's given us a purpose, and we need to be sure that we fulfill our purpose on this earth. And I'm excited about it. Even though Pastor Terry is under attack right now, we're going to see some good things that's going to come out of this. Amen? That's what life is all about. And if you're here and you're going through a trial, I want you to know it is not over. God is going to do something great in your life. It may sound kind of bleak to you right now, but God can do something great through that. Amen? If we forget sometimes about sharing things, and they have a big Sunday school class at Comeet Baptist Church that meets once a month. They have a big dinner, and they have somebody to come and to speak, and they just meet, big fellowship. Well, one of the ladies had read one of my books and liked it. And then she went somewhere to hear me speak, and she come and asked me if I would come and share my testimony. And I went down there Friday night and shared it. And you forget sometimes how effective your life is, because I tell you my testimony all the time. It's probably boring to some of you already. But when you go in places that nobody has ever heard it, and I was amazed that when I was sharing it to people, they would laugh, and then they would cry. And then they would laugh, and then they would cry. And it's like, God, you know what? You're showing me that my life is still in control. You still have control of it. And you're still doing a work through my life. And you can still touch other people if I will just be willing to go and to share. And I want to share that with you guys, because it's nothing that I did. It's only God. But you have a story. You have a testimony that you can go and share with other people. And I want to encourage you in the days to come. We still have a great commission. Amen? A commission to go out and bring the gospel to a lost and dying world. And sometimes he may even put you with other Christians just to hear something fresh and new and exciting for them to get challenged by. And I pray that that did spark that group up down there, that they will get excited. And I want you guys to get excited. That's where I want to get excited. Because when you get excited, I'm here with you, then I'm going to be excited. Amen? And Pastor Terry will be excited. We'll all be excited. Amen? 3 days, morning till 4 o'clock is when we're going to break it. Wednesday night, we're going to finish out the tabernacle prayer. You'd have been coming on Wednesday night. You already have a piece of paper. If you don't, we'll give you one when you get here. But we're going to finish out the tabernacle prayer. We're going to talk about the instruments that was there. And we're going to walk around in this building. And we're going to but we're going to assume that this is the tabernacle. And we're going to have places that you can go. Some of you need to go to the brazen altar. Some of you need to go to the laver. All of us need to go to the Holy of Holies. Amen. And that's what we want to do Wednesday night. And we're going to pray again for Pastor Terry. Hopefully he's going to be out and here by then. But if he's not, you come, but you pray, and you just don't eat anything until 4 o'clock. Amen? That's not me saying that. That's Pastor Terry saying that. So anyway, I didn't know I was going to be preaching today. And I got home, and Pastor Terry called me and told me what was going on, and he said, I want you to preach. And I had a sermon that I was building on, so you're going to have to forgive me if I leave some of it out or if I jump around. How many of you will give me a little grace today? That it was kind of an on-the-spontaneity thing, and then all the dealings with my mom and stuff going on. And it's like it, and I'm not complaining. God's good, and God's going to go do this. Amen? But if I mess up, y'all just say, bless him, Lord. He'll get over it. Thank you, Jesus. But what I want to talk about today is the Word of God is an awesome power. This Word right here, this is our sword. This is our shield. This is our life. This is our everything. And this Word is Jesus. Amen? We need to know that this is an important book. And I want to challenge you right now. We've been going, not only have we been fasting for 21 days, but we've been involved in the daily devotions every day about reading the Word of God. And if you're not a student of the Word of God, just to sit down and to read the Word of God, I want to challenge you today to begin to read the Word of God. And I'm going to show you some things that the Word of God will do in your life if you will just but read it. If you will be a student of God's Word. If I had an invitation today, and I, you know, 2,000 years ago, and I told you, Jesus is coming Monday morning. And He's going to come and He's going to sit right here on these steps. And would you come, would you stop doing what you're doing? Would you mind just coming and sitting at His teachings? I promise you, every one of you would skip work. And you would be here. You would be sitting right here at His feet to see what He had to say. Because He's going to instruct you, He's going to tell you things, and He's going to challenge you as the Son of God would. And I promise you, in reality, if we could do that, we would be here. Well, I want to tell you something. How many of you have one of these? It's going to be at your house. It's there right now. Some of you brought yours with you. But I want you to begin to get that mentality where everywhere this book is where Jesus is. And whatever's read in this book is what Jesus is saying to you as a Christian, as a child of God. God is saying that to you if you will just but open the pages of this book. You will find life. You will find the answer to the trials that you're going through. You'll find a purpose in your life. And you'll find a vision that God gives you. Amen? All we have to do is read the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you what. I've become so accustomed to the Word of God to where I can't hardly live without it. Every day I have to open it up and begin to read and find out what God is instructing me to do. And I'm finding out that the blessings of God are new and fresh every day. If we will just go back and read it. If we will understand what God is saying to us. And folks, I got news for you. We're living in some troubled times right now. The way this world's going. And we need the right instruction under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We need to know what to do and how to do it in the days to come. But I also want to tell you, and I've told you this before, this is the greatest time of any season to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our time to make a stand and say, we are who God calls us are. And I'm not going to say we are Americans. We are Americans. But we should be the people of God to make a stand and be vigilant about it. Amen? Are y'all asleep on me? Somebody say amen. You know, I had them at the Baptist church. They had little things, and they had those little horns that you blow, and the thing unrolls and comes back. And I told them, I said, look, if I say something, and you want to say amen, because I know some of you don't say amen, you just blow your horn. So then, every now and then, you know. So I should have brought those horns here for y'all. Amen? This is the first thing. We're convicted by the Word of God. In Hebrews 4:12, listen to the scripture. If you want to turn there, I think it's going to be on the screen. It says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it says, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that good? That the Word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword, and it cuts both ways, going in and coming out. And it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, you that have been fasting and you that maybe not been fasting, When you read the Word of God, God's Word is He is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. You might have had some motives that you thought was right. And when you read the Word of God, it's like, that's not right. That would bring me glory. That wouldn't bring God glory. And I might have got involved in something I shouldn't have got involved in. But the Word of God discerned what was in me. And it went and touched my insides, if you will, and it brought me to a new place in my life. In John 16:8, it says, Jesus was talking about when the Holy Spirit comes, what He's going to do. He says He's going to teach you. He's going to guide you. He's going to show you truth. And He is going to magnify me. But another place He said in there, He says, the Spirit of truth, when He comes, He will convict the world of sin and of unrighteousness and of judgment. And those three, not unrighteous, but righteousness. But when He comes, He convicts us of sin. You know, when I was lost and undone, if you'd have came up and told me that what I was doing was wrong, I would have told you, look, buddy, just get off right here and go find you something else to do. That was just the attitude I had. And that's the attitude of every lost person. That's why it's so hard to witness to people without sharing the Word of God with them. We need to let the Word of God go and open that sword up when we go. And we are to have the Word of God hidden in our heart. And when we go and you quote a scripture many times, it's going to break down those walls that people put up. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that goes in and convicts people of that. It convicts people of sin and unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to tell people they're sinners and what they're doing is wrong. The Holy Spirit will do that. The Bible also says that He will come and convict of righteousness. That we'll find out immediately that our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. And we need somebody to clean those rags that live in our lives. And only Jesus can do that. But then there's also that part about when it comes, He will convict of judgment. And people realize, you know what? What I'm doing, I might be getting away with it right now. But there is going to come a day of reckoning. There is going to come a day of judgment. And God is going to judge me. Not people are going to judge me, but God will judge me. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. That's what happens when we begin to read the Word of God. It begins to be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our life. You know, most Americans, we got what they call stinking thinking. You know, if it's something there, we'll think of it. And most of the time, it's wrong. Not all the time, but sometimes. But our thoughts are to be God's thoughts. And to get God's thoughts, we need to understand what the Word of God says and begin to be permeated with the Word of God. And let it come and convict our lives and do a great work. There are no secrets that can be hidden from the Lord. As fasting, and I promise you, if you're fasting and you really mean this, God's going to expose things in your life to you. Not to other people, but to you. And you're going to come to that place just like Isaiah was in the year that King Uzziah died. And he said, woe is me. Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. And God will begin to do the searching in our lives. The Bible said the Holy Spirit is like a candle on the inside that searches the innermost thoughts of men. And God is good at that. Amen. Because He wants to clean us up. How many of you know Jesus is coming back for a church without spot nor wrinkle? Just like a pure white bride. You know, I've done many weddings in this church. And it is so beautiful to see a beautiful girl come in that kept herself pure and holy before the Lord and have a pure white dress on. That typifies what Jesus is coming back for. There's just something awesome about that. When you see that in the natural, well, that's the way Jesus is coming back for us. And for Him to come back for a pure, white, clean bride, He's got some stuff to do in our lives. Amen? Are y'all ready to do some of that? Who will use the sword to convict us of waywardness and sin? You know, God knows. You may think you have things in your... Or you may have things in your life you think you can get away with. You might have done them for a long time. But I'm going to tell you what. There's coming a time, and I believe we're living in that day and age where God's going to expose that. And I've learned about judgment. If I will judge myself and get things out of my life, I won't have to stand before God to be judged. That's scriptural, by the way. If I will judge myself, then I don't have to be judged by God. Because all I got to do is recognize it and say, God, I'm wrong there. And I know I'm going to stand in judgment for it. God, would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me of that thing? And when I do, it's gone, just like that. Then I can move on to the next step. Amen? The truth does not hurt unless it ought to. How many of you found that to be true? The truth does hurt sometimes, but it ought to. We need to be told sometimes. You need to back off of that. And you know what God uses sometimes? Not only the Word of God, but if we're Christians and we're the child of the living God, God will use us sometimes to help one another to say, brother, you ought to stop that. Or sister, you ought to stop that. And have that same person to tell you things in your life and say, let's get it together. Let's start doing what God wants us to do and get on with the program. Amen? It's important that we do that. That's called accountability. Accountability, because we love one another. And if we truly love one another, then we will be accountable to one another. But I promise you, if I did a survey in here today and passed out a tablet and say, how many of you ever got hurt by somebody that said something to you, and it was probably good, but you didn't take it that way when they said it, and you might even left a church. There are people all over this town that'll leave a church because somebody said something to them that was probably the truth. And it hurt them, and it hurt them so bad they went somewhere else and poisoned another group. Can I get a better amen? The Word of God is a two-edged sword that God uses not only to protect us from the enemy, but also to penetrate us from the enemy that's within. And how many of you know self is the biggest enemy we got? It's not flesh and blood. It's not powers and principalities. It's that thing that lives inside of us because we're just like any other human being. We want what we want when we want it. Amen? It's that enemy, and that's what the two-edged sword does. It comes to protect us, and it also comes to penetrate us and let us know the truth that God's got for us. Another one is we're converted by the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Incorruptible seed. You see it everywhere you go. There's always somebody or something that's on something that's trying to get you to take incorruptible seed. Well, I want you to know this is the only seed you can take right here that's good. This is incorruptible seed. This is a seed that will grow. But I want you to know both seeds will grow. If they're planted, they will both come up. Jesus told us that many times about the wheat and the tares. They come up together. And it's a matter of which one did we plant. Did we plant bad seed or did we plant good seed? We need to understand that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, Jesus said. But the end, therefore, brings hell and destruction to a person. There's a way that seemeth right. There are many people today that believe part of what we believe. They don't believe all of it. They believe a part of it. But they've left Jesus out of it. And if you've left Jesus out of it, then you're going to have corruptible seed come into your life. And I see a lot of times corruptible seed that comes from other people. Negative talking about things. Blabbing and gossiping and all these things. You're putting negative seeds into people's lives. And it's just a matter for somebody to catch that thing and let it go into their spirit and begin to grow. And it brings into waywardness. And that's where we don't want to go. We want to have good seed to come in. Amen? Nicodemus told, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, marvel not, you must be born again. Now, Nicodemus had already knew the law. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler in their city, if you will. And the Bible says that he was hungry after more than what he was getting. He liked more than the law. And he came to Jesus and he says, Rabbi, which means Rabboni, teacher. He says, let me ask you one thing. He says, what must a man do to enter into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus looks at him and says, Nicodemus, you're a grown man. You're a teacher. You ought to know this. And he says, I don't. And that's when Jesus told him, he says, marvel not, you must be born again. And I'm amazed at the people that go in and out of church that have no clue what being born again means. None. If we really knew what it meant to be born again, I promise you the church would come alive. I said, if we really knew what it meant, we would come alive. Because that is what makes us alive. It's not this thing right here. It's what lives inside of us. And when we live a life with Christ being born again inside of us, we are different people than what we ever were. Amen? And we will always be different. We will always be changing for the better because God is doing something inside of us if we will just but do that. And you say, well, how do you get that? It's as simple as Romans 10, 9 and 10 and 13. It says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it says, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is having a born-again experience and knowing that you've been changed, that old things have become past, and now all things become new to you. If I had to ask you a question this morning, are things new to you? Do you get up every day and find something fresh and new? One of those fresh new nuggets from the Word of God that just excites your heart and brings you to a place sometimes where, you know, I'm a crybaby. I used to never, ever cry in my life. And since I became a Christian, I'm just like a big old snotty crybaby all the time. And you know what? I don't apologize for it because I know when I'm crying, God's doing something on the inside of me. You know, I went to the baby ward the other day to see a couple in here, Drew and Yvette Responi, had a little boy. You know, we prayed for him. By the way, he's doing great. You know, he had a cord wrapped around his neck. And God just saw fit to heal all of that. And they're home. I think they're home. But they're doing good. But nevertheless, while I was there, I looked around and they had babies everywhere and they were all crying and trying to, you know, do push-ups. You know, they think they're really smart, you know, but they're trying. But they were doing everything, but they were crying and they were looking for their mother. And, you know, it's like, wow, we ought to be just like those little babies. We ought to be doing everything we can looking for our father. That ain't even in my notes. Somebody write that down. Write that down, Jamie. We're born again in Christ, who is the Word. The Bible says in John 1:1, it says the Word is God. Bottom line, the Word became God. The Word is Jesus Christ in everything that we do. And we need to know when we pick that Word up that we've picked up the very voice of God that's going to speak to us and tell us to do something. And I want you to get that down deep in your spirit and promise the gift of eternal life through Him. You know, I want you to always keep your eyes on heaven. You know, don't get focused on this world. Don't get focused on the things of this world. Because this is a place that we're just passing through. I am looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And that means that I don't have to worry about the things in this world. All I got to do is keep my eyes on Jesus. Not only have eternal life here, but, you know, an exciting life, an abundant life. But I also have an eternal life on the other side of here, that we're going to live forever. And I think God is running us through things right now to see where our heart is. Where is our stability? Who do we trust in? What do we trust in? God is doing something. Amen? He's trying his best to do what we need to do our best with. Another one is we're cleansed by the Word. John 15:3 says, now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken to you. You are clean through the Word. You know, so many times I see Christians belittling the things that God has already done. When we walk in the past, when we walk and we say, I don't know if God forgave me of that, what we're doing is belittling the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we need to go back and remember that story about Jesus, about the crucifixion. It was prophesied over and over and over that He would come and He would die on a cross. He would be dead. He would be buried and He would rise from the grave to live again. And I want you to know when He went down at Via Dolorosa and they took Him to that whipping post and they took that cat of nine tails and they beat Him unmercifully on the back, ripping skin out, chunks of meat out of Him, beating Him unmercifully. Barbaric beating that He took. And then they took Him and they nailed Him to a beam and He had to go down to Via Dolorosa. I had the privilege of going down that Via Dolorosa one time in Jerusalem. And I thought about it. It's like, you know, this was trailed with the blood of Jesus Christ at one time. And that blood was for me. That blood was to come to cleanse me and to wash me of all unrighteousness. And you too. And how many times have we come to that place and we forget the pain and the anguish, the cost that He paid that you and I can be free? Are y'all getting what I'm saying here? And He came and they brought Him down there, and then they put Him on the cross and they took a crown of thorns, and they didn't just sit it on His head like a hat. They crammed it down on Him to where they probably crushed all into His eyes, into His skin, bleeding. Then they put Him on the cross and they slapped Him and spit on Him, cursed Him and railed at Him. The very God that created the earth and flung the stars into heaven, they sit there and they spit in His face. You know, and I read that sometimes and I get so angry at those people. But then I have to look around and say, you know what? Every time God tells me that I'm something, that I need to go do something, and I don't do it, that's a slap from me. Because there's no sense in that. But you find too many Christians sometimes that live that way. You ask them, is God going to deliver you? I don't think He will. I've had this habit all my life, and I'll probably die with it. That's a slap in the face of God. When the blood is enough for me. The blood that Jesus shed on that cross is enough. And we as Christians need to come and we need to value that and realize that, yes, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. And it makes us come to that place to where we value that more and realize the importance of every bit of it, that it's, He came to cleanse us and to set us free. We need to value that more in our lives and realize that it's more than just a little dab of do you. It's more than just a little washing to do. We were talking the other night about children that you'd go places, and Janice used to do my boys. As Todd, my oldest boy, was here, he used to have a little sprig of hair popped up right in the back, you know, and she would spit on her hand and she'd mop it down. I looked at her one day and said, "What are you doing? You washed that kid to where he almost didn't have no skin on him. Now you're going to spit on him. What is that?" But mamas do that. You know, they can lick their finger and do their little eyebrows and do stuff. But so many times, we as the church, we do the same thing. It's just like, just fix that little part and let it go. But we need to know. We need to know we've been washed from head to toe. And it's clean. And there's no spit in it. And it's only the precious blood of Jesus Christ letting that blood wash us as clean and as white as snow. Amen? Does that do anything for you? It does for me when I realize that I have been purchased with a great price. And it was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. You read this book right here, and this book is dripping with blood. This blood is made up of every covenant that you can think of. And every one of those covenants was made with blood. And it was some of them in the Old Testament, the blood of birds, goats, and animals, lambs. But I'm going to tell you what, in the New Testament, it's dripping with the blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to come to that place and realize that power and that anointing that's in that blood. And we're going to see some things happen. Amen? Why do we hold on to old sins and habits? Because we don't trust in what the blood did. We got to come to that place and realize the blood is enough for me. And if the blood is enough for me, what am I doing holding on to these past sins? What am I doing holding on to these past habits? I need to be cleansed of that thing and realize the importance of the blood. Amen? We're controlled by the Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 teaches, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, and this is woman of God too, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, I'm going to just meddle right here just a little bit, because if you're not part of our Sunday school department, and you don't have a regular study of the Word of God by yourself or somewhere else, I want to challenge you to get there. Because that's exactly what we're talking about. It says all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful in teaching. Now, we've got some good facilitators here. I know. I've been around to some of the classes. And I know that people pay the price and they study and they do what they have to do. We may not be perfect in every way, but I'm going to tell you what, we're doing our best. Amen? But who are the students? It's not so bad about the teachers. They got to have people to listen to the Word of God. People that will come and cohabitate with them, I guess you can say. And people that will listen to them and ask them questions. When I started teaching a Sunday school class, I shared this the other night with them. I said, you know, when I first got saved, the pastor, and y'all have heard this, but I'm going to tell you again. The pastor asked me, he said, would you like to teach? I was only a Christian for 2 weeks. He said, would you like to teach a Sunday school class? And I said, cool, I'll do that. You know, I'm thinking, you know, he's got little kids he wants me to go in there and share with, you know. I said, I can do that. I'm smarter than those little kids. I think I can handle that. So I get there, and he never told me any different, none. So I get there that Sunday morning, he gives me a quarterly, and we go down the hall, and it's like, this is not the children's department. This is the adult classes. So we go down there, and he opens the door, and there's 12 men sitting in there. My heart just dropped. Butterflies came. My jaw locked. It's like, what are we in training here or what? He said, this is your class. And I said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do it. I thought you was going to put me with some little kids, somebody I could at least pull the wool over their eyes. So I found out what to do. Amen? So anyway, I went ahead and I started teaching. And I didn't know beans about it. I was just basically opening the book and reading it. And they started asking questions. And it's like, Lord, I need some help. I need it like right now, too. And I started writing down things. I told them, I said, guys, I'm going to tell y'all what. I am brand new to this thing. In fact, I'm two weeks old in this thing. And I said, but I'm going to tell you what. If you ask me a question, I'm going to write it down. And I promise you, I'm going to go home and I'm going to study that. And I'm going to come back next week and we're going to do this week's lesson next week. Is that fair enough? And I said, next week you ask me some more, we'll do that week the next time. So we did that for 6 months. And you know, out of that 6 months, seven of those men got saved that had been going there years. And I began to learn the Word of God. I began to go and study. And it's like, oh, God, give me the answer for this right now. You know, there was a question. Oh, by the way, Chuck and Janet's here. This is our 50th anniversary for being married. Give them a good hand. I was so honored last night to go to their anniversary party, and I was amazed at their children and their grandchildren, how much they honored them. And I was so touched by that. That just blessed my heart. Because when you train kids up in the way they go, they're going to come back and they're going to honor you. And that's just part of what we're talking about right here. But one of the things, one of the young girls came and she said, who was one of the first kings in the Bible? You know, and she looks right at me like I'm supposed to know. I said, I don't know. I'm just a pastor. You know, but I knew it was Saul after a while. It's like what Saul was. I remember because everybody was wanting a king. And God says, I'll be your king. So I told him, you know, me and one of the brothers told him who he was. But you have to learn. And sometimes you may be put on the spot and you may not know the answer. And how many of you know that it's not that important that you know the answer right then? But it will challenge you to go find the answer. And that's what growing in the Word of God is all about. And it's exciting to do that. But it's another part is not only teaching, it's rebuking. Sometimes we need to read the Word of God and take that rebuking that God gives us. There's nothing wrong sometimes with just being rebuked. Now, if somebody gets up and points their finger in front of you and a crowd of people and rebukes you, that's wrong. That's out of order, and that's just not right to do those things. But there are times if you're doing something and somebody sees it or you see someone else doing it, you need to go to them and talk to them and say, brother, I don't think what you're doing is right. You need to stop this. And I'm just giving this to you as a rebuke. You take it like you want it. I've seen things before that God showed me one time about a guy in our church. I'm not going to say this church. It was another church. And I saw him doing something. The Lord showed me what he was doing before I ever saw him do it. And when I saw it, then it confirmed me. And it's like, I can't approach this person and tell him that. If I do, he's going to be really mad. Besides that, he's a big dude. He's liable to knock me in the head. But I knew that I needed to go do that. And I went and told him. And he denied it right up front. And then the Lord showed me what he was doing with another person. So I called the other person. I said, this is what the Lord is showing me. What about it? And it was a long silence on the phone. And then I could hear sniffing and crying. And she said, you're exactly right. So I called him on the phone. I said, come here. We got to talk, buddy. I said, not only did you do something you can correct, but you lied to me about it. And I said, you made yourself accountable to me, and I made myself accountable to you one time. And it's time to get this thing going. And he took that rebuke. He took that, which is the next thing about correction. Correction to get things right. But you know, sometimes we can just kind of push it under the rug and say nobody sees it. Or I think I got away with it this long. Why can't I just let it go a little longer? Or maybe nobody will ever find out about it. Well, I'm going to tell you what, God's going to expose things in the last days. Amen? There's judgment that's coming to this world. There's judgment that came through the house of God a few years back. Y'all know all the situations that happened there. Things began to pop up that people were doing. It was wrong. God is still coming after a church without spot or wrinkle. Amen? And it's going to take rebuking and it's going to take correcting sometimes to get that stuff out of the church. We're living in a day and age where people want to bring stuff into the body of Christ. We can't have that. God says, do it this way. He raises up a standard and he says, this is what I want my church built on, the rock that is immovable. Amen. And when people try to bring false doctrines or false anything into the church, somebody needs to say something. Amen? And don't just follow everybody along. Jesus says in the last days that many are going to come in my name and say, I am the Christ. Follow me. Or he's there. Or he's over here. He said, don't listen to that. And I've seen through the years that some Christians are so gullible, they'll follow somebody just off into never, never land. I mean, we ought to stop and discern what God is saying. And saying, this is probably not God. And maybe I ought to check this out. And maybe I ought to go talk to somebody that knows what's going on. Amen? Y'all not helping me this morning. Now. I'm going to tell Pastor Terry. Correcting. Training in righteousness. See, we still need training in righteousness. We still need to know how to die to the flesh. We still know how to do the things that God has called us to do. We need that. That's why I go to seminars. That's why I sit under Pastor Terry's teachings right here. Because I want to be trained in righteousness. Amen? That I want to come to that place in my life that I know that I'm doing the right thing instead of the wrong thing. It's good to be in that kind of place. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for good work. You know, y'all sitting there saying, well, he's so mad about us today. He's mean to us. But I want you to be thoroughly equipped because you got some work to do. And if you got work to do, I want you to do good work. Good work. I was sharing with them one time before. I said, you know, I would never hire somebody. I can watch somebody walk and tell whether I would hire that person or not. You think about that. You find somebody that's just... yeah. Well, you know. That type of attitude, they'd never work for me. But I want to find somebody with a clipboard in their hand saying, yes, sir, what you got? What you got? Over here? Yeah, okay. Now, that kind of person will do something. And I shared that with the Homer store, and they fired 5 people. I'm not lying. I told them that I meet with all the managers. I still do that once a month. I go in there, and I pray with them. Got 17 people that I meet with, and they all hit department heads of the Hummer place, the Chevy place, you name it. Jerry Lane Chevrolet, they own all of them. And I go in there and I told them one day, I said, I'd never hire somebody if I watched them walk and they were lazy. And they all looked at one another. And the next week they said they got rid of 5 of them. But they got 5 people in there, and I'm going to tell you what they were doing. They were walking around with clipboards on the lot when I got there looking for things that was wrong. And it takes that sometimes. But you know what? If God fired us, What are we doing? Are we doing a good work? Are we just get up, drag up, fight all the way to church, come in and flop down in a pew and say, okay, Pastor Terry, feed me. Somebody sing. Somebody hold this arm up. It's a little bit tired. You know, God gets excited when you get excited. When you come in here and you got a step in your walk and you're excited about things that's going on and you come with an expectation in your heart knowing that God is going to do something, not only in you but other people, God is going, yay, they're doing it. They're catching on to what I'm trying to tell them. See, that don't excite y'all. You see, we ought to come that way. I mean, when I come in here, I got me a spiritual clipboard. And I'm walking through these aisles and I'm finding who is here that needs a little touch from Jesus today. Before church ever starts, I'm going to go hug their neck. I'm going to find out what their name is. I'm going to let them know that I'm here. And I want them to know that they're here. Amen? See, that's exciting. If you come in those doors and you don't say nothing to nobody, you put those mule blinders on and you just walk down that aisle and go to your chair. See, we're all creatures of habit. I guarantee you, every one of you is sitting right where you did last Sunday. You're sitting right where you did last year this time because we're that way. But I want to challenge some of it. Get out of your chair sometime. Go. These people over here need God to, they need to know that God loves them. Look, aren't they great? Look at this bunch of youth we've got over here. Why are y'all all sitting so close together over there? What's the deal? They need to know from some of these older people that, hey, we love you guys. We thank God for you. And we're going to be praying for you on a regular basis. And some of you young people, y'all need to mingle with these older folks over here. Find out what all this gray hair is from. And no hair. Just find out something. Do something. We ought to all come to that place because we know we got work to do. And let's do a good work. Amen? How many is a candidate for saying, I'm going to do that? I'm going to get my spiritual clipboard out. And I'm going to start looking for things to go. Thank you for you 10 that raised your hand. God's word is like a tool. Another thing I want to ask you is who is controlling your life? Are you controlling your life or is God controlling your life? Because I tell you what, if God is controlling our lives, we're going to be different. Things are going to be different around us. We're going to do things that we've never done. We're going to say things that we've never said. We're going to go places we've never been. If God is in control of our life, it's going to be exciting to get up and know that you can pick up the Word of God, which is Jesus, and He commissions you and He tells you where to go and what to do and how to do it. It's exciting. See, this thing is fun. Being a Christian is the most funnest thing. That's totally ungrammar, but it's the funnest thing you will ever do. You know, I've had some exciting times in my life. I've been able to do a lot of challenging things. When I raced cars, I was one of the first people in the state of Louisiana that ever made it over 200 miles an hour in a drag car. That was a mighty rush to get in there with that nitro burning and the tires are smoking and screaming. Big old blower on the top of it opening up and just screaming down that quarter mile track. That was a hoot. But I'm going to tell you what, it ain't nothing like leading a person to Jesus. You know why? Because that other thing is just a big huff and puff for a quarter of a mile. But what we're instilling in people is going to last forever and ever. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm getting goosebumps while I'm just talking about this. But it's exciting if we will take it and we will begin to read the Word of God and find out what He's instructing us to do and take it and put it in our spirit and say, God, here I am. I want to go and I want to do those good works that You said to do. When You said, go lay hands on the sick, I want to be there the first one to lay my hand on them and watch them get healed. When You said, go speak to that person that's lost and undone and they're the meanest person in the world and they're dangerous. God, that's the one I want. That's the one I'm going to attack is those that will give me opposition. Those people that just, well, I don't know about that Christian stuff. You can tell me about it all you want to, but I've heard that, done that. I ain't going back there no more. You know, it just don't do nothing for me. You know, it's goodbye. I will leave that person alone. But when I start talking to somebody and they say, buddy, you better get out of my face with that thing. or take a track and throw it down on the ground. And they mean, and somebody's already told you, that they're the worst drunk in the neighborhood or the meanest person. They'll probably kill you. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to stand there. I'm going to go toe-to-toe with them. I might get killed one day for doing it, but I ain't running. I'll just get to heaven before y'all do. Because you know why? We need to take this thing aggressively and do what God says to do. We back off and say, well, I don't know if that was God. I better not do that because I might upset somebody and I might do this. You know what? It's time to get over political correctness and preach the Word of God. If they don't like it, they don't like it. The first church that got out there, they started preaching the Word of God. After the day of Pentecost, Peter, the very one that ran from the people, they were after him. He ran and hid. And then they all end up in the upper room, 120 of them, including Jesus' mother. And the Holy Spirit came on them with great power. And when it did, Peter is the one that got up, just like John Wayne, goes towards the door and kicks the door down. Come on, we're going to bring the gospel. And he goes on the very street that probably some of the same people he was running from and preached the Word of God. And the Bible says 3,000 people got saved. Woo! I like it when just one. But I know one thing, there's a flood of coming, amen? And there's going to be a bunch of them. And all we got to do is preach the Word and God will add to the church on a daily basis. But we got to go do it. It's up to us to go do that. The Word is a tool that guides us daily and eternally presents us completely before Christ. The Word is a tool. Somebody asked me the other day, they said when you worked on cars and you did carburetor work and all that kind of stuff, they said, I bet you had just the right tools just for the right things to do. And I said, yeah, I did. You know, I had a little toolbox because I used to do carburetors and tune-up, drivability stuff. Made great money doing it. But I had just a little bitty, I had big boxes at home, but I had a little box because that's all it took to do what I was doing. I didn't need big wrenches and big things. All I needed was my little tools that I did. And I knew exactly where they were when I needed them. I could reach and get that tool. I could reach and get this. Mark can identify with that. You know, I knew exactly. One of them I even carried in my pocket. It made lots of money with a little pocket screwdriver. Taught a lot of kids how to walk with the same screwdriver. A tool. We ought to look at this sometimes like a tool. And when somebody asks you a question, you ought to be able to go get that tool out. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. The greatest tool you'll ever have is to know the Word of God and be able to use it. And people will look at you and they will say, you know, you didn't read that. You know that. That's a part of your life. And when you said it, it meant something to me. You didn't back me in a corner and start reading me the Word of God. You quoted it from your heart, from your spirit. The greatest tool we'll ever have is to begin to memorize the Word of God and let it permeate our lives that we may permeate other people's lives. Another part is, Jesus also said in John 15, He says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you have life. That means that I need to stay in that Word, that I have to abide in Him and He will abide in me if I will stay in His Word. It's so simple to do these things. Confirmed by the Word. John 5:24 says, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. I see a lot of Christians that don't know the difference between condemnation and conviction. The devil will bombard them and they get under condemnation. And it's like, woe is me, I can't do nothing. I'm scared to do anything because I'm so condemned by it. You know that guilty feeling that you have sometimes and the Holy Spirit says, this is what you did, repent and get over it. We need to understand what that is. But we also need to understand what condemnation is. And Paul the Apostle Paul talked about that in Romans 6. He talked about how to be baptized and how to die to self and how to do away with the old inner man and put that thing to death and be raised in the newness of life. And then right in chapter 7, immediately after chapter 6, he comes to that place and he says, the things I know I'm supposed to do, I don't do them. The things I want to do, I'm not doing them. And he comes to that place, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. You know, and it leaves you, if you stop right there, it's like, what kind of dilemma is he in? I mean, what is he doing? Now he just told us what to do, and now he's telling us where he's at. But in the very first verse of chapter 8, he says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? I don't care what you've done or how you've done it. There's no condemnation. If you will come and confess that thing before the Lord, when he convicts you, then you will not have condemnation. And we need to come to that place and realize it. I see so many Christians that are bogged down with condemnation. They feel like they're so condemned about everything. I can't do this. I can't do that. The devil's always camping out on my door. He's always telling me this and he's always telling me that. Well, it's time to start listening to the Lord. It's time to break the word out and say, you know what? If God convicts me, then there's a confession time and then I can be forgiven and I can move on. But there is no condemnation on me, because Jesus took my condemnation and nailed it to that cross. Amen? The power of the blood. It is the word of God that keeps us from being a doubting Christian and allows us to be a shouting Christian. Amen? When we read the word of God, then we're no more doubters, then we're shouters. And it's time for the church to say so. It's time for us to get up and start saying what the word says who we are and living what the word says we are. Amen? So don't be under condemnation. Another part is that we need to realize that we're set apart. If you're a born again Christian, God has set you apart for a service. He's got a call on your name. You've been called when you answered the call to be born again. Whether you like it or not, you better read the fine print, because it's all part of it. And when you answered the call and said, Lord, come in and cleanse me, make me your child, then the call is on your life. People sometimes ask me, they said, how did you get into ministry? Did God call you? Did you see a great revelation? Or what happened to your life? I said, no. I got on my knees one time in a hospital room and invited Jesus Christ into my life. And I said, you know, right then, I said, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say, and I'll go where you want me to go. And it's like, wow, I just answered a call. The phone rang, I picked it up, I answered it. And I said, I'll go where you want me to go. And you did too. But are you doing it? We got to come to that place and say, are we still answering the call? He's still got things for us to do. We're still set apart. We are supposed to be different than the world, because we are now peculiar people. That don't mean weird and strange. That just means peculiar. That God has set us apart to do a service for Him. Amen? We need to come to that place and know who we are in Christ Jesus and let God do the work in our lives. Amen? Because of the Bible's absolute perfection, the wonderful character is revealed. You want to know who God is? You start reading this book. You want to know who you are? You start reading this book. Because I tell you what, part of answering the call is not only changing your character, it's taking on His character. And we are to be just like Him. That's what the very word Christian means, is Christ-like. That the things that He did, we are to be doing the same things. In fact, He even told us. He said, the works that I do, you will even do greater works if you follow me. Amen? See, that excites me. That lets me know that God will never leave me nor forsake me, because He's got a plan for my life and He wants to use me as an individual. He wants to use you as an individual. Because of the Bible's absolute perfection, there's awesome power in the Word of God. We need to know that we've been called, we've been appointed, and we've been anointed to go do what God says to do. That's power in those words. He said, when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, He will give you authority. And that word authority literally means dynamite power. And it's not our power, it's His power. All we got to do is be obedient to do what He says to do. If He says to go do these things, we need to know the power is with us. The authority is with us. You know, sometimes, I don't know if I've shared this with you, and some people might have never heard that. But it's just like if I asked somebody, if I said, Joe, would you come up here, and I'm going to tell you something to do. And I want you to just go out to the street and just stop the traffic. Just go out there and put your hand up and just tell them to stop. Well, no, not really. I'm just telling them. I'm using you as an example. But if I told him to do that, well, you know what? We'd probably attend his funeral tomorrow. Because somebody would run slap over him because he has no authority to do that. But I tell you what, if I put one of those little police caps on him and a badge on him and a big old hog leg 357 on his hip and a whistle, all he's got to do is go out there and put his hand up and blow that whistle, and I promise you the cars will stop from here to the interstate. Now, what's the difference? He's under a different authority. And we need to know that as Christians, that God has given us that authority to do things for Him. Now, other people may not recognize that, but I tell you who does recognize that is the devil. The devil knows where you are and what you're doing. He knows how to bother you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows all those things. But when you come to that place and you know who you are in Jesus Christ and you know the authority that God has given you, the devil says, whoop, don't go there. He knows who he is or she does, and he will hurt you. If you go there, you're trespassing, and he has authority over the devil. And we as Christians need to start doing that. If you have to get your 357, that may be a good scripture in here somewhere. But you need to know the Word of God. Somebody do some research on that. It might be one in here. I know it's a couple of 44s. That's a good John 3:16 there that'll just knock the daylights out of him, you know. But we need to know what the Word says, and we need to step out in faith and believe that authority that He's given us, that power to live by in the days to come. We need to know that. We cannot legitimately refuse it, deny it, distort it, or dilute it. We must bow before it. There's something humbling about the Word of God. I can't refuse it. It's there. I can't deny it. It's there. I can try to. If I see something in there that don't fit my cup of tea, I can try to deny that. Another thing is I can try to distort it. And there's a lot of distortion going on in the days that we're living in. There's a lot of diluting in the Word of God. People read what they want to read. You know, we need to put some of those scriptures on the refrigerator that will just knock our socks off. Not bless them off, but knock them off. It's a difference. You know, we want to put those on there. For, you know, all these glorious scriptures on our refrigerator. But we are to put some on there about the wages of sin is death. You know, and when you don't accept Christ and this happens to you, that happens to you. You know, some Christians still live like God's a big Santa Claus in the sky. When this thing's all over, He's going to say, well, you didn't know any better. Just come on in. It's going to be all right. You know, I'm convinced it's not going to be like that. There's going to be a time of judgment even for Christians. And we're going to be judged for what we did do and what we did not do. And when I stand before Jesus, I want Him to say, come on in, good and faithful servant. I don't want Him to say, I never knew you. And there's going to be a group of people that's going to stand before Jesus one day. And they're going to say, Lord, we laid hands on the sick. And we spoke in tongues. And we did this and we did that. And Jesus is going to look at him with those penetrating eyes, and He's going to say, depart from me, because I never knew you. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. You never bothered to read my word. You never bothered to take the power and the authority and do what I told you to do with it. You never bothered to do that. I don't know who you are. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I may be hard on you today, but I'm going to tell you what, church, it's time to stop fooling around. We need to do what God says to do. We need to get compassionate about the Word of God. We need to get compassionate about lost people. And we need to get compassionate about one another and instruct one another and teach one another and help one another. And when we do, we're going to see God do some great things. Amen. I want you to do this, and you may not be able to do it right. I don't want you to do it right now, but I want, if you can remember this, if you can't, get the CD and do it. But I want you to write three things down that the Word of God convicted you about. Three things that God did to cleanse your life. Three things that confirmed you. And three things that commissioned your life. And then three things that God cared for you. And if you'll take those things and you begin to write them down, you'll grade yourself. You'll say, wow, I didn't do that. I can't even think of one, much less three. And if you can't answer those with three questions in each one of those categories, you need to get before God and say, God, I repent. God, I want to know that your hand is on me. I want to know that I'm doing what you'd have me to do. And I want to challenge us as a church to do that. I mean, come to church. There's some great teachings that's going on. Wednesday night, you guys, some of you missing it out, and I promise you, there ain't nothing on TV that you watching that's worth a hoot. You can come down here and get a holler out of something. Amen? When you're trying to get a hoot somewhere, just come on down here and get a holler. Just get excited about the things of God. Come to church. Get your Bible out. If you haven't started this fast, it's not too late. Today's a great day. Guess what? Oh, and by the way, the money that you're saving off of food that you're doing, put it in the missions box. We're sending it to Haiti. Somebody's going to eat off of what you left, what you did not eat. We're going to give it to somebody else. We're going to bless other people. We're going to do the fast right. Just like Pastor Terry said last week about in the book of Isaiah, 58 chapter, he says, is not this the fast that I've called? And I believe God has called us to a fast, and we ought to take heed to do the things that God says to do. And we're going to see some great things. But take your money and put it in the missions box. It will cost you every day for two meals. And we're going to send that to somebody that can eat. But when you do that, then I want you to go sit down at your table and open the bread of life and partake of it and eat this word. Just like God told one of the prophets. He said, I want you to go and I want you to take the scroll and I want you to eat it. Now, don't go eat your Bible. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying read it and read it and read it and digest it till it gets in your spirit. Until you do understand that, and it's going to become a revelation to you. And I want to challenge you, church, to do that. To let's go and do, I'm not even going to give an altar call today. Because I want you to take those things that we talked about and I want you to go. And you make your altar at your house or wherever you go. And I want you to just sit down and I want you to write that out and honestly ask yourself, what are three things that God has convicted me for? What are three things in my life that God has cleansed me from? What are three things that God has commissioned me to go do? What are three things that God shows me that He really cares for me? Really cares for me. You know, we went riding four-wheelers about a couple of months ago and up there, and I was blaring down a trail like a 15-year-old kid on my four-wheeler, and I got to this big old mud hole, and I went across it. I didn't go in the mud hole. It's like, this thing's going to be way too deep. I'm going to have to swim out of here. So I just kind of hung to the left and just rode the edge on two wheels, got all the way across it, and when I got to the other side, I hit a little bush, and it pitched me off on the side. And when it did, my leg twisted and I heard my knee pop. And I never told a person about that, but that thing hurt so bad it would bring tears in my eyes when I was walking. And I said, Lord, you know, you care for me even when I do stupid things. I'm sorry I did that, Lord. I shouldn't have rode that four-wheeler around that curve. I shouldn't have gone over. I could have flipped over and got killed, drowned, and they'd have never seen me again in that mud. But God, I hurt myself, and I need some, I'm not. God, I've hurt myself, and I need to be healed. And I don't want to have to walk with this the rest of my life. You know? And about 3 weeks later, I was walking, Janice and I was walking down in Alabama, going down this thing to look at some Christmas lights. And I started walking down the hill. And when I was walking, I was dragging along. I I'm a man. I'm proud. I don't want to say I'm hurting, you know. So I'm dragging along. And we're going. And I turn and, oh, boy. And it got healed. You know, I look at that as a great miracle from God. You might not think that. But I'm going to tell you what, if God will heal us of little things, and we can trust Him, and He can trust us with little things, then God will do great and mighty things. Amen? I want you to stand up and let's pray. Father, I thank You today, Lord God, for every person that's in this building. Lord, I've delivered my soul before Him today, Lord God. I've been challenged, Lord God, by Your Word. And Lord, I just look to You today to do a great work in every person that's here today. Lord, that when we leave this building, that we would be so impacted by Your Spirit, Lord. Today, Lord God, that we would take Your Word, Lord God, and we would cherish it. Lord, our heart would panteth over it as the deer over the brook, Lord God. And it would be sweeter than honey, Lord, in everything that we do, Lord. That we would have a new revelation of who You are and what You're doing in our lives. And Lord, we want to walk with You. We want to talk with You. And Lord, most of all, we want to be obedient to what You tell us to do. Lord, I ask that You would touch every person in this building today. And Lord, as we go our separate ways, I ask Your protection on them, that You would bless them wherever they go. And Lord, until we meet again, Lord God, I just pray that as they begin to take the Word of God and begin to eat it and digest it, that it would go down deep within their spirit. Father, I thank You, Lord God, today. And if you want to do that, I want you to just lift up your hands to the skies and say, yes, Lord, that's what I want in my life. I want what Pastor Kenny said today. I want to be convicted by the Word of God. I want to be cleansed by the Word of God. I want to be controlled by the Word of God. Father, we thank You. And Lord, we love You today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, give somebody a hug and we'll see y'all Wednesday night.
There is no love sweeter than